Last week, I touched upon a paragraph here that I was able to think about again over Shabbos, and I found something interesting. The paragraph that I'm referring to is here on page Tav Chaf Gimel in the Seder HaAruch. And he speaks about this. The title of this paragraph is Hakavana Bamiras HaGada. What kavana should a person have when he reads the Haggadah? So first and foremost, he says he should have kavana that he's fulfilling the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Fine. Then he says that really depends upon the machlokes, whether mitzvah tzrichas kavana or ain't tzrichas kavana. And therefore, if you hold mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavana, I don't need that kavana. But here he quotes the Maral Prague, who says that even if I hold that in general mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, this mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim requires kavana. Why? Says the Maral Prague, because mitzvah she'ikra balev, if the mitzvah is mostly in the heart, which I assume he means, you know, Chayav Adam Lira Sasatzwa Kilu Hu Yatsa Mitzrayim, therefore you need Kavana. So that's paragraph number one. And then I ended on Thursday with paragraph number two. Now this second paragraph he quotes in the name of a sefer called Derech Pikudecha. I have no access to the sefer. Maybe you could look it up online and figure out who the author was. And he writes the following, that one should have kavana for the tam of the mitzvah sipur, meaning very often the Torah not only gives us a mitzvah, but it sort of tells you what the goal of the mitzvah is. I'll give you an example. Let's say in the mitzvah of tefillin, the Torah says that we should remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that would be, let me give you a better example. Let's say Sukkah. The pasuk says, "Laman yedu darosechem ki besukos hoshavti es bnei Yisrael." So it's famous in the name of the Aruch Laner that when you sit in Sukkah, you have to have in mind besukos hoshavti, which is machlok is exactly what that means.
Bnei
Yisrael. Okay. That makes sense.
Because it's maralik.
Yeah. So the Bnei Yisoschar in the Sefer called Derech Pikudecha writes that in this mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Torah, the Torah actually gives us the reason for the mitzvah. You know, like as if to say, what is going on in this mitzvah? What are we trying to achieve? And he quotes the pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Bo. And this is what really captured my fancy. I'm going to read to you the pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Bo, because this is even before Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's in the middle of the Makos. I think it's after Makos Barad, if I remember correctly. And the Torah there says, Yisaper. The word Yisaper appears at the beginning of Parshas Bo. And Hashem is explaining to Moshe Rabbeinu why is this whole process of Yetzias Mitzrayim taking so long, and Hashem declares, "Ani echbadati es libo leman shisi ososai ele bekirbo." And the Ramban explains that means gilui, God is revealing His power, His might, His infinite control over the universe to change the marochos of Teva. But then the pasuk says, Uleman tisaper. Tisaper. So this is the last thing I mentioned to you on Thursday. Leman tisaper. Bi ozne bincha uven bincha. Eis asher salalti b'mitzrayim. Vi es al sosai shasamti bom. Now this phrase, Asher Salalti B'Mitzrayim, is quoted by this Bnei Yisoschar, Derech Pikudecha, L'man tesaper bi'oznei bincho ben bincha yisasher salalti mitzrayim v'sol sosai asher samti bom v'yadatem kini Hashem. And basically he says that the ultimate sipur here is meant to lead up, or if you will, culminate in the fact that Hashem is mashgiach v'u kol yachol v'u meshadeid ma'arochos ha'shamayim kirtzono. So he's actually implementing the principle of the Ramban, that the Laman Shisias El Sosai Bekirbo is to reveal God's infinite power and control over the universe. But when you think about it, there's another element in the equation, because the Torah says, Hisalalti b'Mitzrayim. Now the Netziv, which I couldn't find here, I have it at home, but I simply couldn't, I have 4 at 5 volumes of the Netziv on Torah, right here on the shelf. The one that I'm missing is Shmos. That's the one that I need. So, just from memory, what the Netziv says is that this pasuk Hisalalti is the same as Leitzonus. That Olalus and Leitzonus have the same idea. And then he goes on to say, why is it so critical? And this is part of the Laman Yisaper, that we convey to our children Asher Salalti b'Mitzrayim. And at this point he quotes a pasuk in Yoshua, in Sefer Yoshua. Now listen to this pasuk he quotes. I never would have known about this pasuk if not for the Netziv, because my knowledge of Tanakh is very limited, although I did study Yoshua. What happens is Yoshua is talking to the people of Israel. Vayomer el Bnei Yisrael Lamar.
Verses.
This is in Yoshua Perek Dalet. And he's talking about the children asking questions. And Vodatem Espenechem Lamar. Now watch what's going on. He's talking about the splitting of the waters. Which waters? Excellent. The Yarden.
Yeah.
Not the Yamsuf. But you'll see he makes an analogy. Yoshua makes an analogy. And he says the following. Vodatem Espenechem Lamar. In other words, this is the generation of the kibush of Eretz Yisrael, and Yoshua is telling them, make sure that you transmit to your children that Hashem carried you over the Yarden. Asher hovish Hashem alokechem es mei Yarden mipnechem ad avrachem. So Hashem splits the Yarden so that the people of Israel could cross.
Hovish means dry.
To dry it up, exactly. And then it says, Leman das kol amei ha'aretz es yad Hashem ki chazoka hi leman yoresem es Hashem elokechem kol hayomim. And now, Yoshua reveals what's the purpose of transmitting this great miracle to the generations to come. And again, the Netziv is going to derive a basic conclusion from this pasuk. Leman das kol ami yaretz yad Hashem ki chazokehi leman yoresim es Hashem alokechem kol hayomim. Says the Netziv that there's a belief in God that instills fear in us. You know, we're not talking about a higher level of Ava, but rather a level of Yira. And Loman Yireisim Es Hashem Elokeichem, when you see the might of God in undermining the laws of nature, then that itself is going to bring you to Yiras Hashem. And here's where the Netziv adds another element to the equation. And again, if the Netziv doesn't spell it out exactly this way, so that's the way I understood it. That this Yira is very related to the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Our children are going to ask us, what is this all about? And the answer is, L'man tesaper bi'oznei bincha b'mincha es asher salalti b'mitzrayim. In other words, all the miracles of, let's say, the Eser Makos culminating in Kriyas Yamsuf are all Hisalalti b'Mitzrayim. What are we trying to convey to our children? Yiras Hashem. So what I understood here is that one of the Yud Gimel Yud Gimel Yisodos of Amunah of our faith is Schar V'Onesh. So on the, let's say, lower end of the totem pole, as service of Hashem, is a result of our fear of God. We're not up to the higher levels of Ava. And on the level of Yira, if we can see in front of our eyes, Eis Asher Salalti B'Mitzrayim, that what happens to the evildoers is that they are destroyed, that itself instills in us a strong belief in Schar V'Onesh, and that's going to motivate us to uphold the Torah, to uphold the laws of Hashem, to fulfill the will of God. Now, in the context of that equation between which the Netziv is making between what Yoshua is telling the people about the splitting of the Yarden and the experience of Kriyas Yamsuf, which is the ultimate of Hisalalti B'Mitzrayim, we could say that Kriyas Yamsuf itself becomes a very powerful force to instill Yiras Shamayim in us, because we believe in Schar V'Onesh, we see what happens to the evildoers, and that's going to instill fear of the Lord in us. Now, if that be the case, then you may remember that we discussed on Thursday that I think it was the Magen Avraham, I'll have to look it up, you have it in the page that we gave it on Thursday, he says that you could be Yotze the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim by just simply reciting the Shiras Hayom. So all the Mefarshim say, well, there's no mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim in the Shiras Hayom. If Shiras Hayom doesn't embody Yetzias Mitzrayim, how could that be a fulfillment of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? So do you remember Reb Chaim's answer to that? The purpose and the goal of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. The Rambam doesn't even count Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim in the Taryag, because according to the Rambam, I fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim within the framework of Kriyat Shema Birchos Seah. So it's really part of that mitzvah. It's not a separate independent mitzvah in Taryag. And the ultimate goal of Birchas Kriyat Shema is Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed, is Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. That's the epitome, the apex of Shiras Hayam. If we put that together with the Netziv, Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim is a result of Yira. So how do we get to the level of Yira when we see, when we witness the destruction of our enemies, in this case, Asher Solalti B'Mitzrayim, then we come to a sense of belief in God's intervention. You know, things don't just happen, and there's a reckoning, there's a day of reckoning, and those who follow the patterns of evil, right, they will be punished, and that's going to instill in us the Yiras Hashem. So that now the concept of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, which is achieved on a daily basis when we recite the Yam, the Shiras Hayam, and we culminate with Hashem Yivloch Li'olam Voed, that Yir Shamayim means I accept the Malchus Shamayim because God is the King and He has the power to mete out punishment. And in that sense, we begin to perhaps appreciate the Nusach HaGodah that we have. When I say we, I mean as opposed to the Rambam's Nusach HaGodah. Because on Thursday we made a big deal about what I call the abridged Haggadah of the Rambam, where he leaves out any mention of Kriyas Yamsuf. Or he doesn't have Dayenu, so certainly he doesn't have that, Karolonos Hayom Dayenu. But not only that, he doesn't have all the makos and everything that took place at Kriyas Yamsuf. So the only makah that the Rambam has in his Nusach Haggadah is Bechoros. And Rav Soloveitchik wanted to claim because the mitzvah of Sipur is limited to those miracles that took place on the night of the 15th. But let's justify our nusach in the Haggadah. We have a tremendous amount in Haggadah about things that took place after Yetzias Mitzrayim, including Kriyas Yamsuf, which took place on the 7th day after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why is that included in Laman Tesaper? And the answer is because the pasuk says, "Eis Asher Salalti B'Mitzrayim."
And if the hisalal to this olus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzrayim is what I want to tell my children, and now the Nitziv is filling in the missing blank, why is it so critical that we see this olus of Hashem in the enemies of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, the evildoers, the Rishoyim? It's because that's going to instill Yiras Hashem, and that's based on this pasuk in Yoshua, right? Leman das kol ami oretz es yad Hashem ki chazoki leman yereisem es Hashem elokeichem kol yemeichem kol yomim. It means that we have to see what God, what His might is His infinite capabilities to change the laws of nature. And that comes to culmination in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim with Kriyas Yamsuf. So Kriyas Yamsuf is actually appropriate and should be integrated into Laman Tisaper, according to this Derech Pikudecha, if you add it all together. Now, there's another Nitziv that I wanted to mention, also quoted here in the Seder Aruch. That's the Nitziv towards the end of Parshas Bo. And I looked up the Nitziv inside. You know, the Nitziv in his commentary on the Torah has an agenda. He always wants to show you what's called Pshuto Shel Mikra, before you get to Drashas Chazal. And that's what he does here. He opens up Shmos Yud Gimel, Psukim Vav, Zayin, and Ches. In Pasuk Vav, the Torah says, Shivas Yomim Tochal Matzos. In Pasuk Zayin, the Torah says, V'lo Yero Lecha Chametz. And in Pasuk Ches, the Torah says, V'igadat Lebincha. Bayomahu Lemar, Bavur Ze Asali, Hashem Li B'Tzeis Mitzrayim. So the Nitziv is asking how Pipshutel Shel Mikra, Vigadat L'Mincha, means you're responding to the question of a child. So what is the child asking about? Well, he's asking about why you're eating matzah, and why aren't you eating chametz? And your answer is to him is Bavur Ze. What does Ze mean? Whenever the Torah uses the word Ze, you point with your finger. And what are we pointing to? We're pointing to the matzah, because according to the Pshuto Shel Mikra, the child is asking about the matzah. So you point to the matzah, and you tell him, Bavur Zeh Os Hashem Li B'Tzeisi Mimitzrayim. So the Nitziv says, what is the Bavur Zeh? What are you answering him? What is the child meant to know that he didn't know before? He asked you, why is this strange thing that you're eating matzah? And you answered him, because Bavur Zeh. What's the Bavur Zeh? So the Nitziv says something amazing. He says that when the people of Israel left Egypt, they were told to bring their dough, and the dough would only be baked later on when they get to a place called Sukkot, and they have a tremendous amount of emunah, of faith, because the last thing you want to carry around with yourself is dough, because dough gets spoiled very easily, as opposed to baked bread. And it's only when they get later on to Sukkot that they get, and this is what we say in davening, it's a pasuk in Tanakh, I think it's in Yeshaya, we say, V'zochartu lo chesed nurayach, avas klusok, v'lech teichach rai b'midbar b'eretz lo zruah. You know, as we go out to the midbar, we leave Mitzrayim, we have total faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, says the Nitziv, in the schus of that emunah, Zochu avoseinu lo tzeis meretz Yisrael, he quotes a mechilta, that in the schus of emunah, yotzu avoseinu Mitzrayim. What's the Amunah? The Amunah is kipi chipazon yotzasim Mitzrayim bavur zeh. You look at the matzah, and we ran out of Mitzrayim with this matzah, and it wasn't even baked yet. And yet we had total reliance. I mean, imagine some of the people, I don't know who says this, the contemporaries, they say that there were as many as 3 million Jews who left Mitzrayim. You know, Sheshen Ribui plus men and women that didn't fit into their carry children and so forth, whatever the number is. Imagine a nation of 3 million people going out to the desert, and all they have with them is some unbaked dough. So that's what the Mechilta means, that b'schus emuna yotzu avoseinu Mitzrayim. Now here's something very strange going on. Bavur zeh, according to Chazal, means b'shosh yesh matzu munachim lefanecha, which means on the night of Pesach. Says in Nitziv, that's all correct, al pi drashas Chazal, but al pi pshuta shel mikra, the Seder HaPsukim indicates that our v'igadat lebincha applies for all 7 days. Because when is the curiosity of the child aroused to ask the question? Well, why are you eating matzah? So the pasuk says, "Shivas yomim tochal matzahs." Now, if the child is astute, you know, if he's sharp, he'll ask you on the first night of Pesach, "Why are you eating matzah?" But really, you're going to be eating matzah for the entire 7 days. Now, at this point, I want to introduce the following concept: that if we're trying to tell the child that the emuna is behind the whole thing of Yitzis Mitzrayim, that b'schus the emuna we were yotzei in Mitzrayim, then this reminds me of the pasuk in Yoshua, who says that we have to tell the Amei Ha'aretz that there's such a mighty, powerful arm of God that'll bring them to Yerushalayim. So if the whole purpose and the background of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim is Yira, that we get to the state of Amun and Yira, then we go back to the Lamanch, to the pasuk of Esa Sher Salalti B'Mitzrayim, because Esa Sher Salalti B'Mitzrayim is going to instill in the Jewish people a sense of Yira. That's what the Netziv is saying, and the whole holiday of Yitzis Mitzrayim and the kavana that we should have when we fulfill this mitzvah of Sipur is Amuna. Tell the child about our Amuna, because that Amuna is the background and the cause for Yitzis Mitzrayim. And that Amuna is a result of Laman Shisise Asasosai Bekirbi Ulaman Isolalti Bemitzrayim. That's going to instill Amuna in us. Is Memela Rabosai, if the Netziv is saying that the mitzvah of Haggadah Laman Tesaper applies all 7 days, then if I had to choose one day, which is Asher Salalti Mitzrayim, which of the 7 days would it be? The last of the 7 days, because that's the ultimate in a Salalti Mitzrayim. I mean, imagine when you see in front of you, and Chazal say in the Shira that, you know, there were those who went all the way down and those who went top. This was all Mida Keneged Mida to be that punishment. So Schar V'Onish is very critical. Like, for example, I don't know here, but in where I daven in Arnof, on the seventh day of Pesach, they have a minhag, I think I mentioned it to you, that they read the Shira Sayyam responsively. And the Shir Sayyam is going to culminate in Hashem Yivloch Li'olam Vayed, which is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, says the Magen Avraham. If it's Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, it's because I realize that everything is in the hands of God, and nature itself is controlled by God, and God's going to mete out punishment to the evildoers. So this concept that the adversaries of Klal Yisrael are going to go down to the bottom of the sea, Eis Asher Salalti B'Mitzrayim, is an integral part of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim now. Because again, if you take the Netziv that Al Pipshuta Shel Mikra, Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim is going to apply the full 7 days, and the Gaon, if you will, about the Kiyum Matzah called Shiva, but in any event it says Shiva Siyom Tochal Matzah, is certainly not eating chametz for 7 days, and the child is curious, what's that all about? And the answer is Bavur Zeh, that this is why we were Yotzim in Mitzrayim, because of our Emunah, because of our faith of Bechipazon, that we took out the Betzekos from Mitzrayim, Ashalofu, etc., whatever it says in the Pasuk, and that's the essence of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim. And now if you're telling me that it's all about Amuna, Bavur Zeh, it's all about our Amuna, then our Amuna reaches its apex at the moment that the Mitzrayim go down, because that's Laman, right? What's the puzzle about Das Kalami Oretz? Yereisim Es Hashem Elokeichem Kol Hayom. Is Rabosai, you know, I'm beginning to be convinced that the Gaon that we mentioned last week is so relevant to the holiday of Pesach. The Gaon says, the Pasuk in Mishlei tells us that Tov LaTzadikim Talot Kirya V'Abed Rishon Rina, says the Gaon, the first part of the Pasuk is referring to Tov LaTzadikim. But that's Talot Kirya. But we're not yet ready for Rina. Rina is only Aved Rishayim Rina, says the Gaon, that they did not recite Shira when they left Mitzrayim, because that was only Talots Bekiria, but not, it wasn't Rina yet. They were Zochet to liberation from slavery. It says, the Pasuk says the following. I gave it out last week. It says the following. I don't have a Mishle here, but I'm going to try to remember it. It says, Tov LaTzadikim Talots, talots, noshen alizut is happiness, joy, rejoicing. Correct, with the Zion. And then it says, Kiria. Talots Kiria. So the God says, what's Talots Kiria? It's an inference to Shushan Abira. Why? Because when Mordechai receives the tabas that was taken off Haman's finger after Haman was hung, at that point the pasuk says, Va'ir Shushan Sahola V'Samecha. That's Tov Latzadigim, which in Shoshanas Yaakov is called Chelis Mordechai, is Talots Kiria. Says the Gaon, what's Talots Kiria? Kiria is a city. Is a reference to Shushan. The whole city of Shushan is excited. Why? Because we were saved. When did the people of Israel realize and appreciate that we were saved? The moment that Haman was destroyed, the Tabas was taken from the hand of Haman and given over to Mordechai. That's Gedulas Mordechai. But at this point, says the Gaon, it's Talots Rina. I'm sorry, it's Talots Kiria. We're not yet ready for Rina. And it's amazing how he reads the Psukim in Megillas Esther. There's an entire chapter, Periktes of Megillas Esther, that begins with Va'ir Shushan Tzolav Sameicha at the beginning of the Perek, and then it ends with Hayomim Ha'elu Nizkarim V'nasen. Now the word Nizkarim means Kriyas HaMegillah. And the Gemara identifies Kriyas HaMegillah as Hallel. We don't have a formal recitation of Hallel. Kriyas HaZui Hilula. So the Kriyas HaMegillah was established by Chazal to replace Hallel. Well, guess what? What happens in between Va'ir Shushan Tzolav Shlamecha at the beginning of Periktes and Va'yomim Ha'elu Nizkarim V'nasim at the end of Periktes? Anybody know what happens in the middle? We destroy our enemies. First in Shushan 500, then they get another day and they destroy 75,000 Amalekim and another 300 in Shushan. After those psukim, the whole long bit where she comes back to Achashverosh and she gets, at the end of that it says, Vayomim Elu Nizkarim. Esther and Mordechai send a message, they're able to convince the people of Israel to accept Kriyas HaMegillah as a chiyuv annually. Says the Gaon, what's happening here is the exact same pattern as what we see in Yetzias Mitzrayim. That why didn't the people of Israel sing a Shira on the night of the 15th when Hashem brought about the great miracle of the liberation of the slaves after almost two centuries of Shibud and Inui and the whole Avodas Parach? No Shira. Says the Gaon, because that's only Talos. That's Tovla Tzadikim, but it's only Talos. We have to wait until the seventh day, a week later, in order to reach the level of Rina, of Shira. Why? Because the pasuk says, Ba'abed Rishayim Rina. So in Shoshanas Yaakov, it's so fascinating because there are really two parts to Shoshanas Yaakov. The first part of Shoshanas Yaakov is Tcheles Mordechai, and the end of Shoshanas Yaakov is Arur Haman, Arura Zeresh, and Arurim Kol Rishayim. You know, if I was there, I'll tell you when I would get up with all excitement, when they get to Arura Zeresh. I can't tolerate that woman. Somehow I could live with Haman, but Zeresh, I just can't tolerate. Anyway, so it says there, Harurim Kol Rishon. Maybe this is my male chauvinism, I don't know, but Zeresh, I just, poo. And anyway, so what are these two dimensions of Shoshanas Yaakov? The answer is the following. There's Tcheles Mordechai, that's Gedulas Mordechai, but that alone is not enough. Why couldn't Shoshanas Yaakov just simply end right over there? Ah, because we didn't get to the level of Abed Rishon Rina. And that's the essential motivation, or the Goreim, or the Machayev of Kriyas HaMegillah as a Kiyum of Hallel. When are we going to achieve that? Arurim Kol Rishon, Arur Haman, etc., etc. That's called Abed Rishon. And this is the repetition, says the Gaon, of the same process in which instead of reciting Shira at the time that we left Mitzrayim, we're going to wait until Abed Rishon at Kriyas Yamsuf.
Where is that initially?
I think, I can tell it to you if you have the page. Where are the pages I gave out last week? I used to have these
In the Seder Har?
No. It was...
You want to look up Avod Rishon Rina?
It was from the... Yeah, if you don't mind. Avod Rishon Rina. I forget what chapter in Mishlei it is. Okay. You know, the Gaon, amongst his famous... You know, things that he's famous for, he wrote a super commentary on Mishlei. Today, you will learn Mishlei. You know, if you're a yeshiva bacha, you learn it with Rabbeinu Yonah and the Gaon, you know. So one second, I lost my train of thought. I just want to get back to one thing. Oh, so I wanted to suggest that if Ba'bei Rishon Rina, we know that Hallel is an integral part of the mitzvah CPT's Mitzrayim.
11:10.
Okay, 11:10, great. So what I'm suggesting is that the reason why Hallel is such a critical point, a part of Megillah, of the mitzvah Sefer, is because of this pasuk, Leman tesaper biozni bincho ben bincha sasheri salalti b'mitzrayim, which according to the Gaon parallels the pasuk in Mishlei of Ba'abed Rishon Rina. So the Rina is only justified. When did they establish the takon of Rina? That's only after Abed Rishon. So now it makes sense that all those paragraphs about Abed Rishayim with regard to the Mitzvah are integrated into the Sefer Yetzirah against the Rambam Shita. And perhaps this will shed a light on a different statement of the Gaon. The Gaon says in his commentary on Megillah Daf Zayin, where it says, Omar, the most famous statement in the whole Masech, the Megillah, Omar Rava, Chai Vinish, the Psumim, Puraya, Adelo Yoda, says the Gaon, what's it all about Adelo Yoda? So he says that with regard to Amalek, there's a special halacha of Kishazek Hom Zenofel, right? Because Vayisro Tzu Abana Megirva. So the Gaon says the following, that the idea, in order to really appreciate what Purim is all about, is when you can't make a distinction between Baruch Mardechai and Ar Haman, because you're dealing with Amalek. And when you're dealing with Amalek, there's no separation with the two. In other words, with regard to our other enemies of the Jewish people, you could say, okay, you know, maybe it's Tzadik Viralo, maybe we see experiences of Rosh Vitovlo, but they're independent one of the other. In the case of Haman and Mardechai, they're not independent. It's either Tzadik V'Tovlo and Rosh Hamaralo, which means that Mardechai, the Gedulas Mardechai and Apolas Haman, or the opposite Chas V'Shalom, it's Gedulas Haman and Nefilas Mardechai, because when Haman is up, Mardechai is down. And that's the Adelo Yoda. And the Gaon goes on to say that that gives us an appreciation of what the ultimate Geula is all about. Because the ultimate Geula, you know, the Pasuk says, Ki Yod Al Keis Ka, right, that Hashem's name is incomplete, until Mechias Amalek. So the ultimate Geula is going to be the entire destruction of Amalek. And Chazal say at that point where everyone's going to say everything that happens is always going to be Baruch HaTova Meitin. There's no longer Baruch Dayan HaEmes. In other words, there's going to be termination of Amalek, a destruction of Amalek, which means the following, that from now on, after that period of time in the Geula, it's purely Tzadik V'Tovlo V'Rasha V'Rolo. And again, it's a package deal. So that in Megillus Esther, the Takana Megillus Esther can only be after Nefilas Haman. Hence, look at the bracha after the Megillah. The bracha after the Megillah is Hadonis Dineinu, Anokim Ismakaseinu, Mashalim Gmul Choloive Nafshedu, Bracha Toshem, Agomel, whatever it says over there. Before Akela Moshiach. Anyway, whatever it says there. Hanifalanu Mikol Tzareinu. So the whole theme from A to Z, almost to Z, minus the Akela Moshiach at the end, is all about the Abed Rishon Rina. Because again, the Chazal were establishing a bracha, the nusach of which has to justify what the Megillah is all about. And what is the Megillah all about? It's all about Hanoki Misnik Masenu. It's all about Ba'abed Rishayim Rina. But where's the Rina on Purim? We don't have Kriya Samegillah, but we have a substitute. What were Chazal Masakin? What was the Takana? Kriya Samegillah, Zui Hilula. Why? Because the Abed Rishayim. Comes along Rav and he says, no, you have to mention Akela Moshiach. So Rav Papa makes a compromise there in the Gemara, where's on Daf Yudalit, and he says, therefore, we should add Akela Moshiach at the end. Which basically violates the rule in Bracha. So you can never have a Chasimah of Bracha that has two different motifs, two different subjects to it. But the answer is, there's only one subject, and that is Kriya Samegillah. And Kriya Samegillah has two parts to it. Number one, Hashem saves us, because Mordechai receives you know, he's Yotze Bilvush Malchus, blah blah blah, Tchelus Mordechai, and he's got the ring, and now it's Hatzolus Klali. So that's called Akela Moshiach. But that's not enough, because in and of itself, that would not be enough to justify the Rina of Megillah. The reason why Chazal Masakin Rina and Megillah as a substitute for Rina is because of Abed Rishoyim. Ask me, what is it all about? So the Nitziv's approach would be that Abed Rishoyim is all about Yiras Hashem. That if you see that God meets out punishment to the evildoers, you know, you got to get instilled with a sense of fear. You know, don't play around games over here. You know, eat, drink, and be merry, but tomorrow you'll be shoveling coal, if you know what I'm saying, because God is the ultimate, you know, he there's something called Schar V'Onesh. But I think we could say something much more fundamental. And that is that one of the Yisodei Emunah of Schar V'Onesh is not just fear of God, but it's also the belief in the Kel Emunah Vein Ovel, that God is the God of justice. Well, where's the justice if I'm looking at these Rishayim and everything is going well for them? You know, they're driving around in their fancy cars there in the mafioso areas, you know, saying that those who know a little bit about America, right? And they're living on, you know, with everything's great, you know. Where's the justice over here? So again, ultimately, at the time of the Gula, there'll be a destruction of Amalek. But what about in the meantime? How do we live with this terrible anguish of seeing Rishayim that is told, you know, Rosh Vitovlo, and how do we justify God's, you know, God's Amunah? Where's the Amunah? So what I'm suggesting is that in those few events in the history of man where you see that God does mete out punishment to the evildoers, I wish we would see it on a daily basis. I have a few people in mind, you know, who are alive today, you know, and maybe a few million people in mind who are alive today. I'd love to see Abed Rishayim, and then I would certainly be Masakin Halel. But in the meantime, what we have is, we have Yitzias Mitzrayim, the bright light of Kriyas Yam Suf, and at that point we recite Shira. And now we have the Takon of Megillas Esther, but only at the end of chapter 9, only after we destroyed 750 and 800,000 of Amalekim, and then they were misaking the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah because it was Abed Rishayim Rina. And maybe that Rina is not the Rina of Yira, the way that Nitziv would argue if he was here, but the Rina of Kel Emunah, that we have faith, that now we see clearly that this Yesh Din, V'yesh Dayan, not less than the less Dayan, but there is a judge. And that gives us the power of Emunah, Kel Emunah Ve'enov. So anyway, these are some of my musings over Shabbos that I thought about. Yeah.
I have two comment questions. First, my comment is just that
I wish I had the Nitziv to quote to you, but of course the one volume I need is not there. Yeah.
So from a Western perspective, the idea of being helped out, not to be in trouble, and the idea of revenge is much lower than the consciousness of Western people. You think
right.
Mostly about
this is not
helped.
A Western
I'm just saying, but the fact that you elevate revenge there more so than anything else is just like, it's discordant the way.
Well, again, I didn't write the script. It's the Gaon. But one second, and the Gaon is claiming that that's what Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei. But even if I don't, I just want to point out to you in Western terms, I believe, and tell me, Sam, if you disagree with me, because I'm very interested in this topic. There is a concept of Abed Rishayim Rina. What do I mean? We're not going to, you know, God is described as Kel Mekomos Hashem. We say it in Tehillim once a week in the Shir Shal Yom. I forget which day. It's Wednesday, right? Yom Revi, if I'm not mistaken. You'll open up a siddur and check me out.
It's also described as a kind God.
Correct, but I'm just saying you can't deny that God is Kel Mekomos. Now you'll ask me, how do I justify that in a Western civilization? So I'm giving you two approaches. Approach number one is that there is such a thing as punishment for evildoers. It's not a Hefkervel. And point number two is that if you see what's happening to the Rishayim, if that doesn't awaken something within you, then you're totally callous. You have to be an imbecile not to realize that the evildoers are being punished. Now again, there's always a danger in that. You know, 100 years ago, this is what my mother-in-law always tells me the story, that, you know, the story is indicative of a certain a low level of emunah that was quite common amongst the commoners, is that oh, I'm going to smoke on Shabbos, let's see what's going to happen. And if I don't get zapped on the spot, it means the whole thing. You know what I mean? That's on a very low level of Amuna. Where's the Abed Rishayim arena over here, right? So there is a danger over here. But on the other hand, what we have to appreciate here is that if there is a tremendous miracle in which God intervenes in the history of man to mete out punishment to the Rishayim, that's meant to trigger off something in our hearts.
You've got a modern day example of it in the European trials.
They're right, the Nuremberg trials. What was the name of the guy who yelled out, it's a perm fest?
That was Striker.
Right? He was the last of the ten?
He went screaming to the. But association to the Sersi Mate Homon. With Esther and
correct. Correct. That's what, if you're familiar with the Discovery Program of Veisha Torah, that's one of the big things, you know, the ten Canadian ten.
I have a question. Okay? You said that they were merited leaving Mitzrayim because they had faith and took the matzah, the dough out of Mitzrayim before it was baked. That's circular, because they did that after they got out of Mitzrayim.
No, what we're saying is that the Amun of Klal Yisrael was something that played a major role in Yitzias Mitzrayim. Notice Hashem is going to say to them the following: if you rely on me, if you're ready to leave Mitzrayim and rely on me, the Chipazon and so forth and so on, I'm going to guarantee that you have the protection that you need.
Isn't the concept of Nekama is not that much different from the concept of Onesh?
Exactly, that's what I'm trying to say.
Schar ve'onesh. Why don't we just say schar? We're not only looking for schar.
No, I think Yosef, when we use the term schar ve'onesh, what we're trying to say is the following: that God's justice is meted out in two different ways. For those who are the good guys, they'll get schar. For those who are the bad guys, they'll get onesh. The problem is we live in a world of hester, so we don't see this. You know, what we see is 6 million Jews being destroyed, right? So how do you figure that out? Right? Where was God during the Holocaust, etc., etc.? So I'm just saying that during those few bright lights in Jewish history, where we see in front of our eyes Abed Rishayim, that's going to bring us to a state of Rina. Now, you and I may see it in psychological terms. You know, oh, I feel great that these guys who are beating the living daylights out of me are now going down the bottom of the Yam. Well, that's not such a Western, you know, concept. And even Chazal have sensitivity to this, right? The Malachim wanted to say Shira on the seventh day, and Hashem says, what business do you have to say Shira? Let Klal Yisrael say Shira, but not you, you know, because up in the heavens, we're not even happy about the destruction of the Rishayim, whatever that means. But Maisi Yod Tov B'Yam. So that the concept of vengeance shouldn't be understood on a psychological level. It should be understood on a theological level, in terms of what we call theodicy, meaning that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Again, we don't always see the light. The light at the end of the tunnel ultimately will be at the time of the destruction of Amalek. But what we see now, a little bit of light, so to speak, of microcosms of what's going to be at the time of the Geula. And that's going to be reason, you know, when we see those lights and we encounter those experiences, that's reason for Rina. That's occasion for Rina. And it happened at Yam Suf, and it happened at the destruction of 75,000 of our enemies at the time of Amalek in the story of Megillas Esther. And that's Rina. But again, all this is very new to me because I never knew this gone. That for Reno, we have to wait till Abed Rishayim. And he sees it twice. He sees it once in Yitzias Mitzrayim and a second time in the story of Megillas Esther. It's a short gone. I mean, I think I gave it out to you on Thursday, but go over it again. It's very fascinating. Okay, Rabosei, today we want to open up a Gemara Pesachim. And we have some photocopies here if anybody wants to take them, if you didn't take them.
Sure.
It's a Gemara Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Okay.
You get all the same there.
No, we got some problems here. They're,
they're
sequential.
Okay.
I guess the Nun.
Nun. Right, it should start with page Nun.
Right. Nun.
Yeah, no, but much more.
Okay.
No,
keep going.
Yeah.
What do we have pages here?
Yeah, are we able to get started?
Whoops.
Yes?
No, I'm still
whatever you have, you have. I mean, it's all right. And again, Rav Osi, if there's any way, I know you're all very busy, but I'm just a request, if you can come even 2 minutes, 3 minutes before we start, you know, we'll be able to cut out all this organizational challenge and you'll be able to have the pages that you need. All right. And no tainus, chasv shalom. I mean, so the Gemara has the Shita, it's recorded in the Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda, that when the Torah says Tashbisu, it means Srefa. Ein bir chametz el Srefa. And Rabbi Yehuda derives it, anybody remember from where? Nosar. Okay. Because the Torah says in Nosar is Kol Asher, if he leaves it as Nosar, the Torah says Baish Tisrofu. What's that at the beginning of the Pasuk? Kol Asher. Whatever it says. Anyway, it says Baish Tisrofu. Call it Nosum Imenu. Now, the Gemara points out on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, I had a Gemara here, but I don't know, it disappeared. But in any event, the Gemara says over there that Emasai and Yomer Ein Bir Chametz El Asreifa Shalom B'Shas Bi'uro. Oh, Shkoy, thank you so much. Shalom b'shas bi'uro. Amal b'shas bi'uro hashpasaso b'chol dovar. So that's the Gemara here on Yud Beis Amud Beis. And Rashi interprets this Gemara of b'shas bi'uro hashpasaso b'chol dovar based on the Gemara at the beginning of the second parak. There, the Gemara goes into an entire analysis of the Shita Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda first initially sets up a Kal Vachomer to derive that if Nosa requires Srefa, how much more so Chametz should require Srefa, because Chametz has a unique Iser of Bal Yerob Yimatze. But the Gemara says no, that Kal Vachomer has to be thrown overboard. And why is that? Because it's a Kal Vachomer that's Sofa Lahakel. Why is it Sofa Lahakel? Because if you derive from Nosar that Chametz also requires Srefa, what happens if he has no Eitzim, if he has no trees, no wood, so he doesn't have access to fuel to burn his Chametz? So the Gemara says that technically that violates the principle of Kal Vachomer, because Kal Vachomer has to be pure Chumra. In other words, when you're deriving a Chomer from a Kal, you can't derive any kulos from a Kal Vachomer. In this case, by requiring Srefa, paradoxically, you're adding a kula. And what kula do you add? The fact that if you don't have the availability of wood or fuel for your flame, you're going to have to give up on the mitzvah of Tashbisu. So Rashi says back here on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis that according to Rabbi Yehuda, in order to answer this question of how we have to obviate this kula, so the Torah says that with regard to chametz kodem zman isura, then you have to burn it. But you'll ask me if I don't have access to wood. So the answer is, then you'll burn it after shas isura, or at shas isura.
You destroy it.
And then it's hashpasos v'chol dover. You destroy it in any way, in any shape or form. So Rashi says, I'll just quote to you the language of the Rashi, you'll see it here on your copy, on the right side. It says, Emosai ani omer ein bi chametz el sreif shelo b'shas bi'uro. It means, b'tchilas sheish, v'chol sheish and the entire 6 hour Dakati Midaraisa Shari, right? So again, when we're talking about Tashbisa, we're on a Daraisa level. So forget about all the Gzeros Durabanon. So therefore, during the course of the 6 hour, the Torah is saying you, if you avail yourself of the ability and the possibility of destroying the chametz, then you have to burn the chametz. Abel b'shas biuro, says Rashi. That means b'sheva, after the beginning of chatzos of the midday, shu muzhar me'atorah. Then the Torah says ach be'om rishon tashbisu. That's a doraisa. Is then hashbisoso. Bechol davar, then he can destroy it in any way whatsoever. So it comes out that according to Rashi and his interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Natan has the exact opposite interpretation. But according to Rashi, once you hit Shasi Suro, then even Rabbi Yehuda agrees hashpesasa bechol davar. It's a little bit odd, as we'll soon see, because the Torah says tashbisu. And Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ein bir chametz el shreif," which he derives the notion that's all before Shasi Sura. I mean, the mitzvah of Tashbisu is ach by Yom Rishon, which means midday, when chametz became osur. And at that point, you're telling me hashpesos mechol davar. Very, very strange, but I mean, we'll get back to that point a little bit later. So he says the following, that he found a mechilta, which is explicitly like Rashi. Until you get to the Shas Biur at midday, then the Torah says you have to destroy it with Sreifa. Mishigia Shas Biur, Mitzvahs Kiluyav. Kiluy means destruction, b'chol davar, in any way you do it. So it comes out like this, that if the Torah tells you Tashbisu, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, Tashbisu is Bisreifa. So that's the mitzvah of Tashbisu. But then you're telling me, why bother with Sreifa? Why don't you just wait till the Shas Isur, and at that point you're going to destroy the chametz in any shape or form? You know, Hashpasos b'chol davar. He says, Torech zel lama. You know, well, why bother with Sreifa? You're talking about Kodim Shas Isur, so the Torah says, no, you have to destroy it through Sreifa. Well, why not just wait until the seventh hour? El, what the Torah is telling you to burn it before the seventh hour, correct? So then the mitzvah of Hashbasa requires that you burn it. So how can you now tell me, well, we reached the Shas Isur and therefore Hashbasaso Bechol Dover? Now, do you remember, possibly, I'm hoping, that we once discussed the concept that Yudalid, the 14th of Nisan, has to be split into two. And what we meant by splitting into two is that there is a kiyum of Tashbisu in the first half of the day, from daybreak until Chatzos, and then there's another mitzvah of Tashbisu from Chatzos and on. So that's what he writes here, that Shitas Rashi, he shemitzvah Tashbisu, he mitzvah noheges, Bechol Yom Yudalid encompasses the entire day of Yudalid, Kodem Chatzos and Liacher Chatzos. Now the Tosis identifies the mitzvah Tashbisu as Michatzos Ayom V'Yelet, but Rashi has a mitzvah Tashbisu even before Chatzos. And there's a fundamental difference between the mitzvah Tashbisu before Chatzos and afterwards, especially in the light of Rabbi Yehuda, that if you want to be Mekayim the mitzvah Tashbisu before Chatzos, you need a Maisa Sreifa. And that's derived from Nosar. After Chatzos, there's another method, another alternative of fulfilling the mitzvah Tashbisu, and that's called Hashbisos called Dova. Before Chatzos, there's no Iser in holding on to the Chametz. So what do you have basically before Chatzos? Maybe I'm not making myself clear.
You have your choices. You're not pressured.
Well, wait a second. No, again, we're saying that before Chatzos, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you only have one option, and that is the Maisa Sreifa. What's the difference? I told you that before Chatzos, there's no Isur to hold on to Chametz. It's not Chametz yet. So if you don't have the Iser element, what are you left with? If Rashi holds that the first half of the day of Yodalid lends itself to the mitzvah of Tashbisu, what element of Tashbisu do you have?
Zrizim?
No. Zrizim is the Rabbanon. I'm talking on a Deraisa level. Okay, so let me just remind you of what we discussed in the past. There are two dimensions to the mitzvah of Tashbisu. One is what we call a kiyum essay, and the other is what's called an iser essay. Notice that Tashbisu means, an iser essay means that you should not be in possession of chametz. What's the difference between the two? Well, first of all, the difference, according to Rashi, is the Zman HaMitzvah. That's first and foremost, just on a technical level. The Zman HaMitzvah before Chatzos is a Kiyum HaMitzvah, in the positive sense, Tashbisu. From Chatzos and on, when the Iser Chavitz emerges, then Tashbisu turns into what? To an Isur. Meaning the Torah says that at this moment in time, you're not allowed to have possession over chametz. So when you're involved in a kiyum mitzvah that's up until chatzos, according to Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda is going to derive from Nosar, that just like in Nosar, there's a specific maisa destruction. The Torah singles out one method and one method only of destroying and being mekayim this mitzvah of Nosar. And that's what? Sreifa. That's the maisa hashbasa, the maisa of destroying Nosar. And now by virtue of this equation, this analogy between chametz and nosar, Rabbi Yehuda derives that nosar also needs a mitzvah of hashbasa. And how do you fulfill the mitzvah hashbasa? You're not with me. Okay, again, Rabosai, we're dividing up Yudalit into two halves. Yeah. There's we'll call it the morning and the afternoon. The morning up until chatzos, and the afternoon beyond. What's the difference between the two? At Chatzos, the Torah says it's chametz. You're not allowed to have chametz in your possession. Up until Chatzos, it's not chametz. Oh, if this be the case, then Rabbi Yehuda says the following. Up until Chatzos, there's a mitzvah of Tashbisu. The Torah is going to tell us, by virtue of an equation, to know how to fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu. And what maisa, what actions does the Torah single out when it says Tashbisu, if we're talking Kodem Chatzos? Sreifa. And why is that? Because Sreifa in Nosar is a mitzvah of Sreifa. In fact, Nosar is a classical case of a Lav Anitek Liesseh. So it's an essay of destroying the Nosar. And that essay is fulfilled exclusively through Sreifa. Nobody argues about that. What they argue about is Rabbi Yehuda extrapolates from Nosar that Chametz has a mitzvah of Tashbisu, also is exclusively fulfilled through Sreifa. Gemara says that's only Kodem Zman Isuro. Then the Torah commands you in a mitzvah of Sreifa. That's Tashbisu. And Chatzos and on, there's a whole different mitzvah of Tashbisu. Now you have to get rid of your chametz because you're not allowed to possess chametz. Now Tashbisu becomes what? Not a kiyum essay, but an Iser essay. Once Tashbisu becomes an Iser essay, then we're not on the same ground as Nosar. We're no longer sharing the Shetach with Nosar, but rather we're talking about just not a Maisach Bas, but just Lahashbis is a Chomet. Get the Chomet out of this world, because otherwise you're going to violate by your own by your Matzah. You're not allowed to have possession over this Chomet. So Liachar Chatzos, Chal Isur Shehia, Lahashbis is a Chomet Pershuso, which before Chatzos was irrelevant. And now, etzem zeshu mashbis sachomitz min ha'olam. I would underline those two words, min ha'olam. Get the chomitz out of this world, because otherwise you're going to violate the Isur Shehiyah. How do you get the chomitz out of this world? You figure it out. I couldn't care less. Be very creative about it. We'll have a contest. We'll see who's going to get the first prize. Come up with the most original, imaginative way of getting rid of chomitz. Right? I could just see, giving the Jerusalem prize for the most exciting way of getting rid of chomitz. But that's the point now. You're not allowed to have chametz. So the Torah says, get rid of that chametz. But it's no longer a maisa or a kiyum hashbasa. And therefore, now this mitzvah hashposa takes on a whole different definition, a whole different essence, and it's b'chol davar. And therefore, Rashi says b'shas biro b'sheva shu muzer me'atorah. Now the Torah says you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession. It says Rashi has b'sos b'chol davar, because now it's the iser of chametz that's mechayev you to get rid of your chametz. And if it's the iser that's mechayev you to get rid of chametz, then who cares how you get rid of the chametz? As long as you achieve the goal of getting rid of your chametz, that's fine. But not so in the first half of the day of Yudal. There the Torah by Tashbisu means a Tashbisu similar to Nosa, which means a Tashbisu with a Maisa Hashbasa. And it's a definite exclusive Maisa Hashbasa. This is a Maisa Hashbasa, and nothing else would qualify as a Maisa Hashbasa. In Cain, if you see the small paragraph here, Miyushav Hetev, the ein b'shehiya zu shumamtin l'shah shvias mishum bitl mitzvah. Okay, this part is a little bit more complicated. He wants to know, you know, the Gemara says that there's a kula according to Rabbi Yehuda, if he doesn't have access to Eitzim, how's he going to burn his chametz? Well, the answer is it's not a kula, because if he doesn't have access to chametz, I'm sorry, to Eitzim, then he'll destroy his chametz at Shas Isuro in another method. He doesn't need Eitzim. He'll throw it into the water. Oh, you might ask, but what do you mean? He's delaying his mitzvah, right? He's not fulfilling the mitzvah until Shas Shvi'is. Is that not an element of Bittul mitzvah? And the answer is no. As far as the mitzvah is concerned, the mitzvah applies the entire day. It changes with Chatzos in terms of the method. You know, we now expand the various methods that you can employ or implement in order to fulfill that mitzvah, but nevertheless, the mitzvah applies the whole day. The only difference is that for the first half of the day, it's a full-fledged Kiyumah mitzvah. See, Rav Salvechik in this article doesn't ask the following question. If he waits till Shas Isur, is he going to make a bracha when he destroys his chametz? If he destroys chametz the first half of the day, that's called a maisa hashbasa. That's a maisa mitzvah. You make a bracha on that. On a kiyum mitzvah, we make a bracha. But if he waits until shas biuro, I'm not sure if he'll make a bracha, because now it becomes an iser.
It's a kiyum.
Right, he calls it a kiyum, but I'm just pointing out in light of what we saw in the earlier pieces in Hari Kedem, you'll look around. I don't remember right now what number it was, where. Right, where was the getter of Tashbisu? Let's see, I have a table of contents, so I'll tell you right away. Here, the getter of mitzvah Tashbisu, this is on page Chof Gimel. Again, you should have it in your archives, in theory.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have
such a thing. Getter of mitzvah Tashbisu, yeah.
You have it? Siman Yud, right?
Uh-huh.
So there, he has a long presentation in which he comes to the conclusion that the Zman itself is going to determine whether you have a Kiyum HaMitzvah or just an Isur. Let's see if I can, again, I don't want to go through the whole piece now. I'll just point out, the Rambam says, this is Os Gimel, which is on page Chaf Hei, that Mitzvah Saseh Men HaTorah LaHashpis HaChometz Kodem Zman Isur Achiloso. So the Rambam has a Mitzvah Saseh. The implication is that there's a kiyum mitzvah, but the Rambam adds a condition. When are you makayim this mitzvah? Only kodem zman isuro, which means up to but not beyond chatzos. Oh, let's see. Ulefi zen nimtza. You have such a paragraph on page Chaf Hei?
Yeah.
The mitzvah tashbisu mischalekes. He says, kodem zman isuro getter a mitzvah bekum vaseh. V'yuliachar zman Liachar zman mitzvah, meaning from chatzos and on, ein ba mitzvah klal kum vaseh. We call it mitzvah isur be shevi altase. So again, I'm not going through the whole piece, but he splits up tashbisu into two parts. One part of which is a kum vaseh, it's a kiyum in the full sense, and the other part is just an avoidance
isur.
Of an isur. That's an isur aseh. Again, Rabbi Moshe, I don't want to go through this again, only because we spent a lot of time on it. Now, it's true, Sam, you're right. Here in this paragraph, he used the word kiyum. But I think what he means by kiyum is that he's fulfilling his obligation under the law of Tashbisu. But the essence of that kiyum is to get rid of his chametz. He has now a raya from a tour. The tour says, well, let's understand the kasha here. The tour says that if you find chametz on Pesach, what you have to do is first you got to get it outside of your house. And if it's yontif and he can't destroy it, then kofa lava sakli. So what's this whole business about lo tzio mi beso? Right, amotzi chametz mi beso, and it's cholamoid yotzienu miyad v'muyontif. Okay, fine, that's something else. Ad shiyotzienu, twice in the same breath, the Torah says he's got a yotzienu, he's got to take the chametz out. So the Beis Yosef asks, what is this yotzienu all about? Well, alayla yotzienu, eni yodea matzoch lotzio lotzio mirshuso. Because again, he's going to have to destroy it. So what's the hotzio mirshuso here? If he's going to destroy it, he'll destroy it. Let him put it on a torch to the chametz in his rishus. Why does he have to say yotzio mirshus? Was he giving a Smokey the Bear, we used to call it? You know, he's giving us some safety recommendation. What? Make sure before you burn your chametz, you take it out. I mean, I'm not stupid, but let's say I could burn it.
They want to burn a house though.
Yeah, you don't want to burn your house down, but let's say I could burn it somewhere without taking it out of my rishus. I burn it in my backyard or something without burning the house. So why does the Torah twice indicate yotzienu mirshuso?
Rebbe, this comment doesn't exist because you've nullified it.
Oh, that's interesting. So now you have to distinguish between Doraisas and Dorabonas here. Wow, that's going to add another. But let me just read to you the Lashon of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef says, Lepirish Rashi, Dishas Biuro, Hainu Shashishis Vielech. Came with the Bishas, again, Bishashishis means Midrabbana, because already in the sixth hour, the Rabbana wants you to, you know, get rid of your chametz. He says, Hainu, Bishashishis Vielech, came with the Shas Biuro, is therefash Besosu Bechol Doma, Umashu Abedid, who did Bemotzi Mershuso Sagi. There are two Chidushim over here in the Beis Yosef. One chiddush is that when the Torah says yotzienu mi beso, he means because hashpesasa b'chol dovar after shas isuro, and he quotes this Rashi. Now again, you might ask me, well, Rashi's talking about Rabbi Yehuda. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, so we have hashpesasa b'chol dovar even kodem shas isuro, even kodem shas isuro. So the answer is that what we're going to derive from Rabbi Yehuda is a concept. And that is that once you get to Shas Biuro, the nature of the mitzvah Tashbisu changes in such a way that now it's flexible and allows for destruction of the chametz in any shape or form. And he says that since it's after Shas Biuro, Hashpesasa b'chol davar, v'hu adin, now we get to the second chiddush, that according to the tour, b'motzio mirshuso sagi, the moment he takes it out of his rishus, he fulfills the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Rabbi says it's an unbelievable chiddush. I mean, before the tour, the way Beis Yosef understood it, I would have said, all right, you want to throw it into the yam, throw it into the yam, it's going to disintegrate in the yam. You want to be Zorah, you know, Mefarva Zorah L'Ruach, it'll get spread, you know, the wind will blow it to the four corners of the earth. You know, you'll do what's that thing called? They burn the remains of your body. What's that called?
Cremation.
You do cremation on the chametz, right? Cremated chametz, and then you'll, after you cremate the chametz, you spread it around the whole earth, right? Mm-hmm. So what's motzir reshusa? Motzir reshusa means the chametz is still intact. He didn't crumble it, and he didn't throw it into the water to disintegrate it. And yet the Torah says that's enough. Why? Because liachas asisura hashpesos v'chol dover, and that's called yotzienu mirshuso. That's pretty amazing. He says you see clearly from the Beis Yosef that he's operating again with two different ways and modes of fulfilling the mitzvah of tashbisu. There's shalom v'shasisura. There the mitzvah according to Rabbi Yehuda is only exclusively b'sreifa. And then it's after Shas Yisur when Rabbi Yehuda himself agrees, Mefar V'Zorah L'Ruach. And why is that? Because after Shas Yisuro, Chalal of Isu Shabbat Yerov V'Yesh Chiv L'Salik Es HaChomis MiBeiso. Again, he doesn't use the term Isur Aseh over here, but it's a similar concept. That the Torah says, just get the chomets out of your house. Zero tolerance here. It's after Shas Yisur. Now, what does it mean, get it out of your house? The Torah understood that literally. Just get it out of your house, and that's enough.
Throw it on the street.
Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't mention Hefker here, but Bittel. Tosis asks a kasha on Rashi. The din of Ein Bir Chametz El Esreifa, according to Rabbi, is derived from Nosar. The whole thrust of Nosar is after the Zman of Achila, right? It's you pass the allotted time for eating the kodesh. Now, if that be the case, according to Rashi, this mitzvah of Ein Bir Chametz El Esreifa should be after you pass the Zman of Chametz. Right, because Rav Yehuda derives a kavachomer from nosar to chametz. Now, according to Rashi, chametz liachar zman biuro. Even Rav Yehuda agrees as hashpasos b'chol dover. How could that possibly be? In the case of nosar, when do you have to get rid of the nosar? After Shas Yisuro, meaning when you left it over, it's an isur kares nosar or pigul and all the rest. So at that point, what do you say?
There's no any of nosar beforehand. It's
really complicated. You're right. But again, Lenny, let's understand the Kasha Tosis, and your answer might be the right answer. But the Tosis understood that in Nosar, it's only after it became Nosar and it's Osir, that's when you have to destroy it through Sreifan. Rabbi Yehuda says that Chametz, when it becomes Chametz, you're going to have to destroy it. Well, when does Chametz become Chametz? Only midday, right? And at that point, Rashi says, "Hashpasos v'chol davar." So where's the equation to Nosar? Rabbi Yehuda builds his entire thesis of Sreifa on an equation to Nosar, and Nosar means it was after Shas Isuro. Now, what do you do with the Nosar? You have to burn it. No, then by virtue of this equation to Chametz, the analogy to Chametz, we should say that after Chametz becomes Asur, meaning after the Shas Yisuro, then you should have to burn it. And Rashi is saying the exact opposite, that you burn it only before Shas Yisuro. Benir al pian now did nosar liachar zman Yisuro who kechomets konim zman Yisuro. So we'll see, Lenny, if we can fit your pshat into these words here, that nosar after zman Yisur is equivalent to chomets konim zman Yisuro. What does that mean? Shari b'nosar ikar isur hu deloso siru. In other words, the whole isur is before the zman isur, meaning when
don't
you still
leave it over in the first place,
because right, you're allowed to eat it at that time.
Right.
Aval yachar shenase nosar, ein bo isur shehiya. So when is it? At what period of time are you guilty of postponing it? That's only within the framework of shas achiloso. Right, but you know what I mean by Shas Achilos, so in Kochim Kalim, Kochim Kochim, all the different. But
is there an inyan of Shehiyah and Nosar? No. Doesn't matter.
Yes and no. I mean, Shehiyah.
You should wait, but you're not over on anything the moment that happens.
Right, correct. But there is an Isur Shehiyah if it culminates in reaching Shas Isuro until, let's say, Laila, so, or Yom, right, whatever it is.
No, but you should have eaten it.
Right.
You didn't eat it. You're not over on anything. You just have to burn it.
But again, the key, what we're saying is that the cube of Achila it lends itself to Nisar Shehiyah, meaning the Torah is saying don't postpone the Achila. You have to be Makayim that mitzvah Achila, because if you postpone it, then you're Chayiv Mishum Nosar.
There's also a lava versus zero.
Right. That we know. I wasn't even going to spell it out. I'm saying, right, so you have an Isur of Loso Siru, which means you're not allowed to allow the Basar Kodshim to remain uneaten past its allotted time for Achila. So let's see it inside. He says, Nosar li achar zman Isuro, hu kechometz kodim zman Isuro. In other words, just like in Nosar, you have to get rid of it after Shas Isuro. So to in Chometz, you have to get rid of it even Kodim Zman Yisuro. because the special mitzvah of Tashbisu. Hare, benosar ikara isur, delosos siru, hu korim zman, shenase nosar. Notice when the Torah says loso siru, it's before it became nosar. Li'achar shenase nosar, ein bo isur shehiya. I mean, you have a mitzvah of sreifa, but you can take your time. Lachain, kirm hashbasasa hu rak al yidei hashbasa b'sreifa.
Yeah.
Now, what does he mean by kiyumash besoso? He's talking about chametz now, am I right? Or is he talking about nosar?
Nosar.
Ah, so he's saying what? Li'achar shenase nosar ein bo isur shehiya.
Lachen.
Kiyumash besoso rak al yidei hashbasa b'sreifa. So kiyum. What does he mean by lachen? Just one second, I'm sorry. Li'achar shenase nosar. That the kiyum of hashposa is sreifa. Rakai the meisim esuv shal hashposa the sreifa choshev shumevayer es hanosar. Therefore, chametz likewise, the only way that you could be makayim your mitzvah hashposa is through sreifa. I don't know, I'm going to have to read this again. That's as far as I got in this piece. But, you know, Rabbi Osai, what time is it now? Let's stop here and fast forward to Siman Chav Dalet. You have Siman Chav Dalet? Okay, so we're going to have to come back and we'll try to finish this up. But I think we got the main point of this presentation and the two parts of the mitzvah of Tashbisu.
There's no issa of getting rid of the
korban
during the time it's not there, is it? There's a mitzvah achilas ha-korban. There's no issa to burn it. If you
yes.
burn it.
Yes, if you burn it, you'd be mafsid kodshin. That's a terrible issa.
That's what I'm
saying. So Rabbi Osai, here in Siman Chav Dalet, we're going to talk about feeding dogs, feeding animals. Chametz. So you'll have to feed an animal chametz. So your first answer should be, well, chametz is also about no, so you can't feed an animal. Well, wait a second. What hanah do I get from the animal eating the chametz?
You didn't have to feed him something else.
Oh, so that means that it's your animal.
Yeah.
Good. However, that's not so good. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, you're not allowed to feed any animal, even if it's not yours. You'll see this on page Nun Gimel, right? Yeah. And you're in the middle of the first paragraph, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch. Also lahachil chemtzo bepeska filu lebehemas acherim. Okay, look, if it's your animal, maybe you'll owe me one, right? Yeah. But then he goes on, he says, oh, shel hefker.
Wild animal.
Yeah, I call it a stray dog. I don't know, a wild animal. See, you're not allowed to feed a wild animal. And the Rav Salvation claims that this is all based on a Yushalmi. The Yushalmi, it interprets the Mishnah of machil lebehemto, meaning as long as it's shas heter, you're allowed to eat the chametz, and the Mishnah says you're allowed to feed it to an animal. However, the Mishnah says, let's open up to the Mishnah, which is on, what is it, Chaf Gimel?
No,
Chaf Aleph Amidah, right. It says in the Mishnah, Kol shosh buto lechol machil behema. It doesn't say machil behemto. So in other words, the contrast between kol shosh buto lechol and when it's awesome to eat is machil behema when it's buto to eat it, and eno machil behema when it's awesome to eat it. And the implication is it doesn't matter whose dog it is, whose animal it is. El behema stam, and that includes even a behema of hefto. So you and I would say balabatish, that by feeding an animal, I get pleasure out of that. You know, it's nice to feed an animal. You know, today there are people who spend half of their days feeding animals. You know, stomp. You know, they walk the streets to feed animals. But the Yushalmi derives this from a pasuk. The chem of vur b'Yushalmi, shemizman shachomitz osu b'ana osu lahachil lebehemas hefker. Shenemar lo ye ochel afil leklovin. So you want to underline those words. Shenemar lo ye'acher. Now, for the fact that we're deriving this from lo ye'achel seems to indicate that we're not dealing with some sort of psychological pleasure that you're having by feeding a dog. Besides which, I don't know if that psychological pleasure would be a violation of Isar HaNoah. You know, that's not, you're not being nene from the chametz per se. I mean, you're getting benefit from the fact that chametz, that the animal is gives you a smile, you know, gives you, licks you, or whatever the dogs do. I don't know. Every year when I was a kid, I would ask my father for the afikom for a dog, and he would say, Ad chatzi amalchus. You can ask for anything but a dog. I don't know, in my family somehow they were, I don't know, they thought it was a non-Jewish thing to own animals. I don't know exactly, but...
You could jump up on a pregnant woman and she would miscarry.
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's it.
That's it.
And pigeons is something different, because if you have hepatitis, you need pigeons.
They were anti-Jews because they used to be sick from Jews. And the shtetls.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So listen to Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham writes on the Shulchan Aruch that says Behemas Hefker. He says Dimahanahu. He gets Hanok Shunosin LeBehema. Right. So it sounds like he's like a Rotsa B'Kiyumo, even though the Chometz is Hefker. He wants the Chometz in order to feed this dog, and that's a violation of the Isur HaNoah. However, the Levush writes Shumahana LeBehema. The Hersta Maisa, that the reason why I can't feed a dog, a stray dog on Pesach Chometz, is because I'm giving pleasure to the dog. That's pretty wild. Add to that the Yushalmi, which is the source for the Shulchan Aruch, Lo Ye'achel, Shenemar Lo Ye'achel. It's pretty wild. So if Salvation has a new thesis over here, it's pretty revolutionary. I don't know. It's up to you whether you want to accept it or not.
You're recognizing it as food.
But he says Shemahana Lebehema. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, what did the Yushalmi see in the Pasuk Lo Ye'achel? So he puts that question on the back burners, and he goes over to a different Lo Ye'achel. I mean, the same Pasuk, but a different derivation. The Rambam Paskins in Perek Aleph Milchus Chometz Halacha Zayna Ochel Men Chometz Atzum Pesach Kol Shehu. Now Rabbo say in all Isuri Achil, what's the minimum shear? Kizayis. And here the Rambam says that you violate a lav d'oraisa for eating a kol shehu of chometz. How is that so? Hareyu Asim Men Torah, says the Rambam. He's not even entering into the issue of chatzis shear, whether it's Asim Men Torah or not. Here I have an explicit reason in the Torah why it's Asim even a kol shehu. Shenemar lo ye'ochel chametz. So two questions here. Number one, the Yushalmi derives from lo ye'ochel chametz that you're not allowed to feed a behemas hefker. And number two, the Rambam derives from lo ye'ochel chametz that you're not allowed to eat a kol shehu of chametz. So the question now is shtei halachos eilu meishach shaychei hadadi? The Yushalmi is going on one path and the Rambam on another path, or is there some sort of source or a hub, you know, an nekuda, and both the Rambam and the Yushalmi are deriving from that one single nekuda two different halachic applications of that nekuda. So this is just, you know, if I was introducing you to the world of brisk, and this would be my first shear of the year in a methodology class on brisk, this could be an excellent start. The Gemara says in Psachim, with regard to the lechem aponim, that each kohen received kipul halavan. So there were the kohenim of the anshei mishmar, and when they removed the lechem aponim at the end of the week, they would divvy it up against the Anshei Mishmar. Now, you know, there were 12 Lechamim. How are you going to feed the Anshei Mishmar? So Gemara says that each coin got Kippul Alavon. So all the Rishonim asked the Kasha, how could it be? We have a principle called Ein Achila Pachas Mikizayas. And there's a mitzvah Achila in Kodshim. The Rambam actually counts it, if I'm not mistaken, as one of the Taryag. How could the mitzvah Achila's Kodshim be fulfilled with a Kippul Alavon? And that's less than a Kizayas. So here's where the Beis HaLevi, that's my Rebbe's great-grandfather, came up with a Gevaldige Chiddush. And of course, if I'm talking about brisk, then it's always going to be a difference between what? Gavra and a Hefza, right? This we know, in the middle of the night. And this is the sort of a typical Gavra Hefza Chakir. And he says the following. When do we say in Achila Pochos Mikizayis, that's only as far as what? Gavra Hefza, you get a 50% chance of getting it right. I hope you'll get it right. No, that's a gavra. When you talk about the gavra, ein achila pochus mikizayis means a maisa achila is not upgraded to the status of a chosh of a maisa unless you ate a kizayis. When it comes to the cheftza is a nechal, even if it's a kolshu, no matter what amount of the cheftza. So the Beis Halevi wants to say that there are two mitzvahs in achila's kolshim. One is that the person should eat the kodshim, and the other is that the kodshim should be eaten. It's a kiyum in the cheftza, that the carbon should be eaten. So if there was a possibility of, in an ideal world, that both, you can have the kiyum of gavra and cheftza, that would be wonderful. Then you'd require a kizayit. But in the absence of that, at least chodsh, where we have to have the minimum kiyum, is the kiyum and the cheftza. And that's what happened in the case of Lechem Apon. It was impossible to fulfill the mitzvah sagavra of a maisachil of a kizai. So therefore, we were kind of the mitzvah of the cheftza being a nechal. Okay. Now he comes back to the Rambam. The Rambam says that if you eat a kol shehu, what's the language of the Rambam? I'll read it again. Ha'ochel min ha'chametz atzon pesach kol shehu, ha'reza osur min ha'torah. How could it be? Ein achila pochus mikizayis. You ate a kol shehu. What's going to be the answer? Cheftza. That the iser is that the cheftza shouldn't be a necha. And the Rambam says she never lo ye achel chametz, which literally in English would translate the chametz should not be eaten. That's the literal translation of the pasuk. And the Rambam sees a whole world in this pasuk, that as opposed to all other macholos asuros, where the chiyuv and the isur depends upon an achila, which means the gavra has to implement the ma'is achila, ein achila pochus mikizayis. But here the Torah went out of its way to say the chametz shall not be eaten, and that includes even a kosher. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to use this chiddush. Again, this is his own chiddush based on an analogy to his great grandfather. He says, "May high time of this on page Nundalid." Yolif b'Yushalmi mehach krof in the same pasuk lo yeochel the also lahakil afilu beimas efker. What it means is that this iser hanon chametz means that the chametz should not be used for hanon. You're not allowed to be a goreim that this chametz is there is a hanon, and the Torah according to Yushalmi is recognizing even the hanon of an animal as hanon. So if the animal gets a benefit from it, and you were the goreim by feeding the animal, you have not now set up a hanon in the chametz. The cheftza shel chametz is now nene. Mm-hmm. Right, so the Isra hanon has nothing to do with my benefit from it. That would be in gavra terms.
Not people give them benefit.
Correct, but giving the animal benefit, meaning that the chametz is set up in a way that it is nene mimenu, meaning that there is hanon from the chametz. Lahachel beimis hefker. He says that's already considered lo ye ochel. Again, you know, the Torah never spills out that you're not allowed to have hanon from it. It's all derived from the pasuk of achila. And he says the following, that afilu nosno beimis hefker asur v'ze isur mechudosh. This is a new expanded definition of the isur hanon. Who's benefiting from the chametz? The behema, the animal. Is chashu chashuva kano hasura legabi isuri ano de cham isur ano de chametz, which is pretty way out. Okay, ulefize pashut. You see the next small paragraph. Shall isur ze who rak bechametz? Because again, the Yushalmi derives it from the special pasuk of lo. Yay Ochel. Below Mishari Suriano. So far so good? Okay. Now the Rambam in Macholas Asuras with regard to other Isuriano, the Rambam says, call Machol Shu Osir Mano, im Nenevelo Ochel, Koncha Mochar Onosan Legoi, Ole Klovim, Eno Loke. So the Rambam says that even though the Isra Ano is Doraisa in Isra Ano, but nevertheless you don't get Malchus for it. Okay, so there's no Malchus. You get Makas Mardus, but not Malchus Doraisa. Acha Mia Mavur, the Chol Nesina Leklavim, he Isra Torah. The Rambam is not talking about some sort of Darabana when he says that you feed this Isra Ano to a dog. Mashma Filu Klavim Shal Hefka, the Rambam doesn't qualify that it's your dog. He says Leklavim. And the Rambam writes Ola Kalbo.
He didn't write.
I'm sorry, the Rambam didn't write Ola Kalbo. Now, the Rambam here is not addressing chametz. So it comes out that feeding, let's say, Arlo, Klayakerem, or Basmachol, whatever it is, feeding it to a dog, even though it's not your dog, it's a dog, it's Hefka, a stray dog, you violate the Isa Doraisa. That doesn't make sense because the Yushalmi derived it from the Pasuk Lo Yeachel, which means it's a separate halacha in chametz. And the Rambam is applying this universally to all Isuri Ano.
And it doesn't say Lo Yeachel by the other Isuri
Ano. No. So he quotes here Agos Ashri. I'm not sure where the Agos Ashri is. He says Perik Beis Simon Gimel. I don't know where to find this Agos Ashri, but in any event, the Agos Ashri wants to suggest that there's a general Iser Hanah that applies even to a Behema Shal Hefker. And that's straight across the board with regard to all Isuri Ano. So it's not limited to chametz. So you see on the top left, and with this we'll have to stop for mincha, he says, Mimad ma'isi rai masnis nu tmura me'adin kfura bechol Isuri Ano muchach techol debechol Isuri Ano asa litnam lekele. And that's against Yushalmi that derives from a special pasuk in chametz, lo ye achel chametz. All right, gentlemen, I wish you a great day. And B'li Neder will finish this tomorrow. And if anybody has a chance to photocopy another couple of chapters here in the Seder Aruch, we're getting down to the real nitty gritty of the Seder of Pesach. So I'd like to.
It's interesting. We're all here about doing machal b'angel, not some other kind of I wonder if really
yeah. Maybe some other thing like
by anybody.